إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، الحمد لله، all praise due to Allah, we praise Him and we seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask for Allah's assistance and we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray, and whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. We have come up, we actually reached verse number 60, what, Sheikh Khalid?
78.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, we're ahead. Verse 78, Tafsir Surah Al-Kahf, from the book, the famous book of Tafsir, Tafsir Al-Karim Al-Rahman, في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. And verse 78, أيوة نعم. We said الخضر رحمه الله أو رضي الله عنه told موسى قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا. أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. أيوة. So can someone, Sheikh Khalid, can you please read verses 78 and 79 in English? Sheikh Yusuf. Are you screaming?
Akina said, this is the party between me and you. I will test
you. Can you repeat?
I will tell you the interpretation of those things over which you were unable to patient. As for a ship, it belonged to Masakin. Needy people walking in the sea. So I wished to make a defective damage in it, as there was a king behind them who seized every ship by force.
Barakallahu fik. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, هذا فراق بيني وبينك فإنك شرطت ذلك على نفسك فلم يبقى الآن عذر ولا موضع للصحبة أو للصحبة. سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا، أي سأخبرك بما أنكرت عليه، وأنبئك بأن لي في ذلك من المآرب ما يؤول إليه الأمر. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, pertaining to the statement of Allah عز وجل, هذا فراق بيني وبينك, this is a parting between me and you. He says, because who put this condition upon himself? Musa عليه السلام. He put this condition in the last time. He said, فلا تسألني عن شيء. قال, what did Musa tell him? Now, subhanAllah, when you need the verse, it doesn't come. إيه؟ قال, إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني. قد بلغت من الدنيا عذرا. Here, now that he did ask him about the wall, right? He seen the wall and said, why don't you take some money for building the wall and whatever? So here the Khadr told him, that's it, you have made it a condition upon yourself that if you ask me one more time, we will separate, and you have done so. So you have no excuse now, we will be separated. But I will tell you about the things that, the interpretation of the things that you were unable to be patient about, because he's seen him do all these things. As for the ship, the one that I have, remember he got on the ship and he took one of the wooden foundation of the ship on the bottom and he pulled it out. So it started drowning, started sinking, and the people in it started drowning. He says, I've done this because this was actually out of mercy to them, out of mercy and kindness to the people of the ship. فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا. أي كان مرورهم على ذلك الملك الظالم، فكل سفينة صالحة تمر عليه ما فيها عيب غصبها وأخذها ظلما، فأردت أن أخرقها ليكون فيها عيب فتسلم من ذلك الظالم. He says there was a this particular ship was about to come across a king. This king was known for confiscating any ship that was safe and sound, any ship that moved and had no problems in it, he would actually take. Alaykum salam. He would actually confiscate it. He will take it from the people aggressively. So Al-Khadr, because he knew that, he made a fault, he made a defect in the ship. Because this king will only take a ship that was safe and that was perfect. Once there was a defect in the ship, then he was no longer... Wa alaykum salam. Then he was no longer interested in it. He was no longer interested in it, so he would be safe from that particular oppressive ruler. Then he said, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ فَخَشِينَ أَنْ يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا فَأَرَدْنَا أَنْ يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُ مَا لَمْ تَسْطِعْ عَلَيْهِ صَبْرًا. عبد العزيز حبيبي, please read verses 7, verses 80 up to 83. With a loud voice, please. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Surah Al-Qur'an. And as for the boy, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief. So we intended that their Lord should change him for them, who want better in righteousness and nearer to mercy. And as for the world, it belonged to two orphan boys in the town. And there was under it a treasure belonging to them, and their father was a righteous man, and your Lord intended that they should attain the age of full strength and take out their treasure as a mercy from your Lord. And I did them not my own accord, that is the interpretation of those things over which you would not own patience.
Barakallahu feek.
And they asked you about Durga.
No, that's 84. No, yes, sir. Oh, that is 83? Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, it's my fault. You want to read it anyways?
And he asked you about Dhul-Qarnayn. Say, I shall recite to you something of his story.
Jazakallah khair, and forgive me for giving you false information. It was unintentional. طيب الشيخ رحمه الله said, وأما الغلام الذي قتلته فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا وكان ذلك الغلام قد قدر عليه أنه لو بلغ لأرهق أبويه طغيانا وكفرا أي لحملهما على الطغيان والكفر إما لأجل محبتهما إياه أو للحاجة إليه أو يحدهما على ذلك أي فقتلته للاطلاع على ذلك سلامة لدين أبويه المؤمنين. وأي فائدة أعظم من هذه الفائدة الجليلة وهو إن كان فيه إساءة إليهما وقطع لذريتهما فإن الله تعالى سيعطيهما من الذرية ما هو خير منه ولهذا قال فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحمة. As for the young boy who I killed, his parents were believers, so we were afraid that he will turn them into disbelief and transgression. And the Shaykh said, and this particular young boy, it has been decreed for him that if he reaches the age of adolescence or puberty, that he will actually drive his parents into kufr and disbelief. طيب, the Shaykh said, either because they love him, they would love him so much, and they will favor satisfying him over belief. Perhaps he will be a disbeliever. And he would tell his parents, if you love me, then you follow my religion or something along these lines. So they say, fine, because they love him so much. This is one interpretation. Or because they may be in need of him. They may need him for whatever reasons, and that will make him go into disbelief. Regardless of the situation, Al-Khudr killed him. Al-Khudr killed him upon seeing him. He said, because Allah had given him knowledge of that. Of course, see, Al-Khudr is acting based on wahi. He's based on ilham, if we want to use the correct word, ilham. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him knowledge about this. Allah sent Musa to learn from this particular individual, whom Allah has given him the interpretation of the things. And he acted according, and he will say that this is only the will of Allah. I'm not acting on my own. Rather, this is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So, and this is basically a means of safety for his two believing parents. And what benefit is better and greater than this particular benefit? Which is the fact that they will preserve their belief. Because although this may seem to be evil outwardly, which is the death of the son, and this will bring grief. I mean, just once the parents find out that their child was killed, right? They don't know the story, right? They don't know that Al-Khadr was acting based on something that Allah had given him from knowledge, that the son, if he grows up, he's going to take you into kuffar, he's going to make you kuffar. They don't know all that stuff. All they're going to know is that their child passed away. Some man killed him. So this is going to be some sort of harm to them. But nonetheless, Allah Azza wa Jalla had promised that He will give them in replacement, He will replace them with a better children, better progeny. That's what Allah says. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبَ رُحْمًا. So we wanted that Allah Azza wa Jalla, their Lord, will replace him with a child better, more pure than him, and more close in mercy. أي ولدا صالحا زكيا واصلا لرحمه فإن الغلام الذي قتل لو بلغ لعقهما أشد العقوق بحملهما على الكفر والطغيان. The Shaykh said, meaning Allah will replace him with a righteous, pure son that will keep his kinship ties. Because this boy that was killed, had he reached the age of puberty, then he would have been extremely undutiful to his parents. He would have mistreated them in a great way by making them go into disbelief. And nothing could be worse than that. طيب. وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارَ الَّذِي أَقَمْتَهُ أَوْ الَّذِي أَقَمْتُهُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا أي حالهما تقتدي الرأفة بهما ورحمتهما لكونهما صغيرين عدما أباهما وحفظهم الله أيضا وحفظهم لا وحفظهما الله أيضا بصلاح والدهما فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما أي فلهذا هدمت الجدار واستخرجت ما تحته من كنزهما وأعددته مجانا. طيب. As for the wall that Al-Khidr alayhi salam or radiallahu anhu, he constructed, a wall that was on the verge of falling, he fixed it, he rectified it. He said there was under it, as we read in the tafsir, in the interpretation of the meaning in English, that it belonged to two orphans in the city, and under that particular wall there was a treasure that belonged to them. So basically, if the wall was to fall off, then the treasure will be exposed, and then it may be taken away. But Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to preserve this particular treasure for them. That's why I rectified the wall. Why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man. The Shaykh eventually will mention the benefits that we can deduce from these stories. I will save that till then, inshallah. I will not ruin the surprise for you. But the Shaykh said, حَالَهُمَا تَقْتَضِي الرَّأْفَةُ بِهِمَا وَرَحْمَتِهِمَا أو رَحْمَتُهُمَا. Their condition, these two kids, indicate that we should be merciful to them and kind to them, because they're orphans and the treasure is under this wall. And if we don't rectify the condition of this wall, then their treasure may be taken away. And we are commanded in Islam to be kind to orphans, particularly al-yatama. They have a very special status in Islam, because the person has lost his father. Now also, there's a misconception about the people. They say that the orphan is whomever lost his mother and his father. And Islamically, this is incorrect. An orphan is the one who lost his father before the age of puberty, even if his mother is alive. طيب, your mother could be alive, but if your father has passed away before you reach the age of puberty, then you are considered a yatim in Islam. طيب, نعم. لكونهما صغيرين, and because Allah Azza wa Jalla protected these children because of the righteousness of their father. We will see how that will relate to us later, inshallah. So Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted them to reach the age of puberty, the age of adolescence, and then they could remove their treasures on their own. He says, "This is why I destroyed the wall, and then I took whatever was under it from treasure, and then I reconstructed it for free." رحمة من ربك أي هذا الذي فعلته رحمة من الله أتاها الله عبده الخضر وما فعلته عن أمري أي أتيت هنا مكتوب كذا في النسختين ومراد المؤلف رحمه الله النفي أي ما أتيت أيوة وما أتيت شيئا من قبل نفسي ومجرد إرادتي وإنما ذلك من رحمة الله وأمره and all this that I have done is nothing but mercy from your Lord. All this is mercy from your Lord. I, يعني الخضر, did not do it on my own. Did not do it of my own command. And because of my own will. Rather, it was a command from Allah Azza wa Jal and a mercy from Him. ذلك الذي فسرته لك تأويل ما لم تستع عليه صبرا. This, what I just told you, is the interpretation of that which you were unable to be patient about. Now the Shaykh will mention, وفي هذه القصة العجيبة الجليلة من الفوائد والأحكام والقواعد شيء كثير ننبه على بعضه بعون الله. He says, in this particular amazing, honorable story is a number of benefits and wisdom and rules, foundations that we will mention to you here, a small of them with the assistance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one, this I suggest, if you have a pen and a paper, this is where you want to take notes. Among the benefits of the story of Al-Khidr wa Musa alayhi salam is a number of benefits. Number one, right, this is valuable stuff. Me and you, one of us may read this surah hundreds of times. We will not be able, Allahu A'lam, to deduce the benefits that you see the Shaykh mention right now. To tell you the difference between the people of knowledge and the average people like us. Now.
Is Al-Khidr a person?
Al-Khidr, yes, is a person. No, that's his name. According to the Shaykh, he wasn't a prophet.
He was not.
No, because the scholars have differed.
Because he said, according to the discussion, it took place, as he said here, this about the kings, how he came, it looked like, yes, they are with prophets.
No. According to Allahu A'lam, the scholars of tafsir have differed regarding Al-Khidr, whether he is a Nabi or not. According to the Shaykh, as we mentioned in tafsir earlier, he said, وَالصَّحِيحَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِي بَلْ رَجُلٌ صَالِحٌ.
How he translated the event is from prophethood.
Yes, no, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. Because in order for us to say he's a prophet, we have to have an indication. And Allah Azza wa Jal called him, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا صَالِحًا. Right? Allah called him a righteous servant.
Righteous.
Hey, if Allah called the other prophets, Nabi. He called him Rasul. Because that title wasn't given to him, we cannot really make that confirmation. But according to some Mufassirin, he was. Because they say he cannot be acting on his own. Nonetheless, according to the Shaykh, well, there's something called karamat, which is the honor, the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to the righteous servants, awliya, al-awliya Allah. Now, things that happen only for them. يعني الله أعلم. It's not our, we will not know, يعني, it won't benefit us at this point. What will benefit us from the benefits of the story. Number one, فمنها فضيلة العلم والرحلة في طلبه وأنه أهم الأمور فإن موسى عليه السلام رحل مسافة طويلة ولقي النصب في طلبه وترك القعود عند بني إسرائيل لتعليمهم وإرشادهم واختار السفر لزيادة العلم على ذلك. Number one, the virtue of knowledge. The virtue of knowledge and the traveling for seeking it. And to actually travel for seeking knowledge. and that it is one of the most important affairs. Because Musa alayhi salam traveled a long distance, and he suffered, and he dealt with hardship, and he left alone sitting with the children of Israel by teaching them and directing them, because he was a teacher already among his people. Yet he left that in order to, and he favored traveling in order to increase his knowledge, in order to increase his knowledge. Number two, وَمِنْهَا الْبِدَاءَةُ بِالْأَهَمِّ فَالْأَهَمِّ فأن زيادة العلم علم الإنسان أهم من ترك ذلك والاشتغال بالتعليم من دون تزود من العلم والجمع بين الأمرين أكمل. The second rule is to begin with an order of importance. Prioritize. First things first, as they say. First things first. Because increasing knowledge, يعني the knowledge of the person, is more important than leaving that alone. You should occupy yourself with learning. And even if you are teaching people, even if you are in the state of teaching people, it doesn't mean that you no longer teach. And if you're able to bring a relation between both, then this is best. That you teach the people and that you learn on your own. Because sometimes you have one of the two choices. Either you will work in a maktab where you teach people, or you leave alone and you go seek knowledge as a student of knowledge. طيب, if you're able to bring a relation between both, then this is better. According to this story, it is better for a person not to advise the people, but to go seek knowledge of his own and try to advise the people at the same time to the best of his ability. نعم. ومنها جواز أخذ القادم القادمة في الحضر والسفر لكفاية المؤن وطلب الراحة كما فعل موسى. The permissibility of having a servant. طيب, a servant that works for you, يعني not a slave, not a abd, but خادم. طيب, whether you are traveling or whether you are residing as a resident, in order to assist you in your affairs and to seek rest, as it was done by Musa. Because Musa alayhi salam, when he wanted to travel to seek knowledge, he didn't go on his own. He took with him who? Yusha, right? Is that what his name? Yusha. Na'am. Is that what his name? His name was Yusha. We read in the beginning of the story. Na'am bin Noon. Yusha bin Noon, I believe his name was. Na'am, Yusha. Allahu a'lam. He took him with him to assist him in his travel. So in it is an indication about the permissibility of having a servant who may assist you in your affairs, whether you are at home or whether you are traveling. ومنها أن المسافر لطلب العلم أو جهاد أو نحوه إذا اقتضت المصلحة الإخبار بمطلبه وأين يريده فإنه أكمل من كتمه, فإن في إظهاره فوائد من الاستعداد له عدته وإتيان الأمر على بصيرة وإظهارا لشرف هذه العبادة الجليلة كما قال موسى لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقوبا وكما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه حين غزوا تبوك بوجهه مع أن عادته التورية وذلك تبعا للمصلحة. The third benefit is that if a person intends on traveling to seek knowledge or to strive and fight in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal, if the benefit, if the maslaha indicates that you shall tell the people, then you do so. And it is better than keeping it concealed. Because in doing so, it will help the person prepare himself mentally for the trip that he is about to undertake. And so he will do this based on knowledge and based on insight, and in order to show the honor of this particular act of worship. This is why Musa told Al-Khidr, I will not stop until I make it to the conjunction of the oceans, or I die. Yani I will remain traveling to seek this particular knowledge until the end. Usually, you don't tell the people. But here the Shaykh deduced the benefit of, if there's a benefit in telling the people about what you intend, I'm going to such and such country to learn Arabic. Why? It's as long as you're not showing off. Now, this is where we need to be careful. Where you don't mix it with riyah, and you want the people to praise you that you're going to go through and seek knowledge. But if your intention is to encourage the people, or to show them the virtue of knowledge, that look, I'm going to travel all the way just to learn. You know what I'm saying? It magnifies that particular act of worship. And as the Prophet ﷺ also told his companions in Tabuk, when they had the battle of Tabuk, and the Prophet ﷺ usually would not inform them about their expeditions. He would not inform them, he would do things on the down low, so the enemy will not be aware of their presence. But in the battle of Tabuk, he ﷺ told them that we are going to travel in such and such route, and we're doing such and such thing, because there was a benefit in doing so. طيب ومنها إضافة الشر وأسبابه إلى الشيطان على وجه التسويل والتزيين وإن كان الكل بقضاء الله وقدره لقول فتى موسى وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره. The fourth or fifth benefit, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, to attribute evil to the devil, attribute all evil to the shaitan, as adorning the statement and refer it to the shaitan. Although everything is by the decree of Allah, although everything happened by the decree of Allah, yet if something evil happens, then you attribute it to the shaitan, because the Yusha' told Musa alayhi salam, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَ. When he asked him about the food, the lunch that we're going to eat, he said, and none made me forget it except the shaitan. Although, wasn't it by the will of Allah that he forgot to bring the fish? It was by the will of Allah. But here, he referred the act of forgetfulness, because it contained evil, in this particular case, to the shaitan. Refer things to the shaitan. طيب. So you say, you know, I did such and such sin because of my shortcomings or because of the shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jal curse him or something along these lines. But you don't say because of Allah. طيب, out of respect. ومنها جواز إخبار الإنسان عما هو من مقتضى طبيعة النفس من نصب أو جوع أو عطش إذا لم يكن على وجه التسخط وكان صدقا لقول موسى لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. The sixth benefit is the permissibility of a person speaking about his current affair from that which the soul is accustomed to, whether you are hungry or whether you are tired or whether you are thirsty. Meaning there's nothing wrong with saying I'm hungry, طيب, or I'm thirsty or I'm tired, as long as it is not as long as the person is not complaining or telling on Allah. Because some people say it by they're telling on Allah, oh, I'm, you know, da, 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 as if they're complaining about Allah. If this is the intention, then it is not permissible. If the intention is only to speak about your current affair without being unsatisfied with what Allah has decreed, and while you are truthful, then there's nothing wrong with that. Because Musa alayhi salam said, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. We have suffered from this particular of travel of ours a great deal of hardship. طيب.
Excuse me.
Now,
what's number six? Permissibility of a person
to speak. Number six. Can you say it again? Number six.
The last one.
Yes.
The permissibility of a person speaking or about his current state, whether hungry or thirsty or tired. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you are not displeased with the decree of Allah. But you may just be informing someone about your situation. Now, wallahu a'lam. بارك الله فيك حبيبي. ومنها استحباب كون خادم الإنسان ذكيا بطنا كيسا ليتم له أمره الذي يريده. The preference of having a servant that is intelligent and wise in order to assist you in your affairs. Yani if you're going to hire someone, and the way we look at it right now, if you're going to hire someone, don't hire a dumb individual who will not do the job and will make your affairs difficult. Rather, seek the person who seems to be intelligent, because he will assist you in handling your business, whether you are hiring someone or whether you're getting someone as a servant. Don't get someone that will eventually make things difficult for you.
A preference of having
an intelligent servant. Intelligent, wise, you know, all the good qualities. ومنها number 8 استحباب إطعام الإنسان قادمه من مأكله وأكلهما جميعا لأن ظاهر قوله آتنا غداءنا إضافة إلى الجميع أنه أكل هو وهو جميعا. The preference or the يعني it's liked, it is encouraged that the person eats with his servants from the same food. And this is something that is almost unavailable nowadays, where the kafir will have some bake and you will get a sandwich for 1 riyal. The reality is that it shouldn't be this way. You should eat from the same food and actually wear from the same clothes, according to another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But people don't apply these anymore. Anyways, yes, that it is preferred that the person eats with the servant from the same food, because of the apparent meaning of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, "Atina ghada'ana," where Musa said, "Bring to us our lunch." It's an indication that their lunch was something that they were sharing with one another. It's not like Musa was eating some fancy kind of food, and because this was a servant, he was eating some kind of different kind of food. Rather, they were eating with each other. طيب. ومنها أن المعونة تنزل على العبد على حسب قيامه بالمأمور به. This is very fundamental now, pertaining to us, يا إخوان. وأن الموافقة لأمر الله يعان ما لا يعان غيره لقوله لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا. The other benefit is that the assistance from Allah is given to the servant according to him, his fulfillment of the obligation. The more you fulfill the obligation, the more you are perfecting the fulfillment of the obligation, the more that you will get assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that the person who is in agreement with the command of Allah will receive assistance other than the one that who is not. Will receive assistance other than the one who is not. Because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. We have suffered in this particular travel of ours from extreme hardship. والإشارة إلى السفر المجاوز لمجمع البحرين وأما الأول فلم يشتكي من التعب مع طوله لأنه هو السفر على الحقيقة وأما الأخير فالظاهر أنه بعض يوم لأنهم فقدوا الحوت حين أووا إلى الصخرة فالظاهر أنهم باتوا عندها ثم ساروا في الغد حتى إذا جاء وقت الغداء قال موسى لفتاه آتنا غداءنا فحينئذ تذكر أنه نسيه في الموضع الذي إليه منتهى قصده. Now this is a little sophisticated, but Allah musta'an. Basically the reason why the Shaykh said this is based on the reality. Remember we mentioned earlier in the tafsir that Musa and Khidr had traveled for a long distance, and Musa alayhi salam did not complain about facing any hardship. Rather, he mentioned the hardship that he faced. He mentioned the hardship that he faced after they had forgot the fish. After they forgot the fish, he started feeling tired. Although they had been traveling for a long time, the Shaykh said, and what is apparent is that the first part was the real travel, but they didn't feel any difficulty. Once they reached, after they lost the fish, this is when they started feeling the difficulty and the hardship of travel. So he said, what is apparent is that the second part of the travel, which is after losing the fish, was only probably for one part of a day. A small part of the day, although the earlier travel may have been days or weeks. It may have been much longer. طيب. ومنها أن ذلك العبد الذي لقياه ليس نبيا بل عبدا صالحا لأنه وصفه بالعبودية وذكر منة الله عليه بالرحمة والعلم ولم يذكر رسالته ولا نبوته ولو كان نبيا لذكر ذلك كما ذكر غيره. And among the benefits is that that servant is that Musa met, Al-Khidr, was not a prophet. Rather, he was a righteous servant. Because Allah described him with servitude. He said, عَبْدًا صَالِحًا. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned his bounty upon him from knowledge, that Allah gave him knowledge and Allah gave him rahmah. And Allah did not mention anything about him being a prophet or a messenger. The Shaykh said, had he been a prophet, then Allah would have mentioned it as he mentioned with others. Right? What in Surah Maryam? Yes. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ. Right? إِنَّهُ كَانَ رسول النبي صح. Very often Allah will mention and mention in the book such and such prophet. Verily he was a prophet and a messenger. Isa, he said, إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا. Isa, when he was first born, Jesus, he said, I am the servant of Allah. He gave me the book, يعني the revelation, the scripture, and he made me a Nabi, a prophet. So we have been accustomed to the fact that whenever someone is a prophet or a messenger, Allah Azza wa Jalla will inform us of the case. Now,
Just I'd like to add
something according to
the scholars that say he is a prophet.
Yes.
The reason they say this is because from the story of Surah Al-Kahf, he seems more knowledgeable than Musa.
Nah, nah. He is.
Yes.
In some
aspects. So that's the reason for them saying that he is a prophet.
Yeah, I understand. No, we know.
There's a difference between them.
Yeah, no, we know. We mentioned from the beginning that there's a difference of opinion among the scholars. We're not denying alaykum salam alaykum. We're not denying that. I'm only explaining to the brothers why the Shaykh took this position.
Yes.
And the validity of this position. It may be wrong, it may be correct, Allahu A'lam. We know that the scholars have differed whether he is a prophet or not. According to the Shaykh, he's not. And he gave us the evidence. And I'm only reminding them that there were times where a person would be called a Nabi, but he was not given that particular title. Even the Shaykh يعني interprets that the fact that he was given knowledge regarding some aspects not pertaining to the foundations of Iman, because Musa is from Ulul Azm sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he is inevitably more knowledgeable than him in the aspects of Iman and its foundation. But in terms of some of the things, Allah had given Al-Qadr more knowledge in that aspect. It doesn't necessitate that he is a prophet though, according to the Shaykh. But Allahu A'lam, we're not favoring any position. Some Mufassireen said that Al-Qadr is a Nabi. He was a prophet also. طيب. The Shaykh is not of the opinion, and he used this as one of the benefits that he is not. You investigate on your own and come up with your own conclusion. أيوة. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُهُ فِي آخِرِ الْقِصَّةِ وَمَا فَعَلْتُهُ عَنْ أَمْرِي فَأَنَّهُ لَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ وَأَنَّهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الإلهام والتحديد كما يكون لغير الأنبياء كما قال تعالى وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه وأوحى ربك إلى النحل أن اتخذي من الجبال بيوتا. He says, as to what comes at the end of the story of Al-Khidr and Musa, where he told him, and I did not do this of my own command, this doesn't necessarily mean that he is a prophet either, but verily this indicates that he was given some sort of inspiration. Huh? Some sort of inspiration, not revelation, but inspiration. As it has happened with other than prophets. For example, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِينَ. And we inspired the mother of Musa that you shall breastfeed him. And we know that the mother of Musa was not a prophet. So the fact that the term أَوْحَيْنَا was mentioned, it doesn't mean that she received revelation from Allah where she became a prophet or a messenger. Rather, it was given as an inspiration. Allah inspired her that she shall breastfeed Musa. Same thing was done with the bees. Allah says, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا. Allah inspired the bees, you know, the bee, that you shall take from the mountains homes where they will make the honey. That yet also the word أَوْحَى was used, and it doesn't mean that bees are prophets, but Allah has inspired them. So the same way Allah inspired the mother of Musa, and Allah inspired the bees, according to the Shaykh, Allah inspired Al-Khidr to do what he did. And this is valid. It has come in the Quran, and it doesn't mean that he's a prophet, even if he had that extra knowledge. طيب? This seems to be strong. Wallahu A'lam.
What verse are we on?
We are verse number Allahu A'lam. 83 still. We didn't speak about Dhulqarnayn. We're about, now listen, we are still in verse 82. Why? Because the Shaykh is mentioning all the benefits from the story. So pause your mind a little bit about the verses. Now stick with the benefits.
Take from explanation of verse 82, right?
Yeah, it's not explanation. The explanation was brief, but the benefits from the whole story. So now we are going from what? Where did it begin? In verse number 68. From verse 60 till 80, till 82. This is the benefit, not a summary. Not a summary, no. This is the benefits deduced from the story that began in verse 60 and ended in verse 82. Only benefits deduced. So far we've mentioned, I think, 8 or 9 of them. Right? 10. ممتاز. ومنها
we didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
It's too fast. It's too fast.
What is too fast?
Because recorded.
Ya Sheikh. You don't have to write, listen to me. You don't have to write the whole thing. You just write the first sentence I say. The title. The virtue of knowledge. Khalas. You don't have to write blah 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 blah. You know, it's sad. Come on, you guys. You were in school before. The teacher will go much faster in school. I'll slow down though. Inshallah. But one of you I'm sure has all 10. Later you could get it from that person. Or later I could give it to you again. طيب ومنها عش. أن العلم الذي يعلمه الله لعباده ألو نوعان بعدين not now later نوعان علم مكتسب يدركه العبد بجده واجتهاده ونوع علم لدني يهبه الله لمن يمن عليه من عباده لقوله وعلمناه من لدنا علما. The 11th benefit is that the knowledge that Allah gives to His servants is of two kinds. The knowledge that Allah gives to His servants is two kinds. Ilmun muktasab, knowledge that is attained by the person himself through his own effort and through his own struggling. طيب, you keep memorizing the Quran until you memorize it. You're not just born with the Quran memorized. Right? This kind of knowledge of memorizing the Quran is something that you earn on your own. You want to memorize a hadith, you have to mention the hadith. طيب? This is one kind of knowledge. The other kind of knowledge is one that is strictly godly, if we want to say that particular word. يعني strictly from Allah. Okay? Something that Allah gives to His servants as a bounty from Him. Based on the statement of Allah, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا and we gave Him from us knowledge. This kind of knowledge is usually also al-fiqh fi al-deen, understanding the deen. Because there's a difference between memorizing the textual evidence and understanding. You may memorize, but not understand anything. Nah. You may not have a great memory, but you understand what's going on. So the first kind of knowledge is the one that you attain on your own. The second one is a gift from Allah. And people are at different levels and degrees in terms of that. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase us with the understanding of the deen. ومنها التأدب مع المعلم وخطاب المتعلم إياه ألطف خطاب لقول موسى عليه السلام هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا فأخرج الكلام بصورة الملاطفة والمشاورة وأنك هل تأذن لي في ذلك أم لا وإقراره بأنه يتعلم منه بخلاف ما عليه أهل الجفاء أو الكبر الذي لا يظهر للمعلم افتقاره إلى علمه بل يدعي أنه يتعاون وهو وإياه بل ربما ظن أنه يعلم معلمه وهو جاهل جدا فالذل للمعلم وإظهار الحاجة إلى تعليمه من أنفع الشيء للمتعلم. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. Among the benefits is the etiquette with the manners with the teacher. The manners that a person should have with the teacher. And the fact that you should speak to the teacher in the most gentle, appropriate way. Because Musa, who is a messenger of Allah, among the strong messengers of Allah, told the Al-Khidr, shall I follow you? Shall I follow you so I may learn from you that, so I may learn the rightly guided way from that which you were taught? He didn't say, I'm a messenger of Allah, I'm going to come with you. طيب, I should have more knowledge than you. I don't know how come you have more knowledge than me, but whatever the case is, no problem. I will be with you until I learn from you, then I'll be more knowledgeable than you. طيب, assuming that يعني, somebody would say this because he's a messenger of Allah. So he has the right to say that. But in reality, Musa alayhi salam was not like that. He said, is it okay if I just come with you? Let me see what you're doing. I can learn from you. I can benefit from you. So the Shaykh said, Musa alayhi salam, he produced the words in its best image, in the sense of gentleness and consultation. يعني, I'm consulting you. Is it okay that if I follow you? يعني, do you allow me or not? And admitting that he is learning from him. Admitting that he is learning from Al-Khidr. He said this is in opposition to what the people of arrogance are upon. The arrogant people, he does not show to the teacher his need of knowledge. He does not show him that he is in need of him. Rather, he pretends that he is working with him. Yani we're working with one, you benefit from me, I benefit from you. He doesn't make him feel that I'm only benefiting from you. He says, but perhaps he may make that he will think that his teacher is learning from him. And he will come to the class, or he will sit in with the sheikh, and he will think that the sheikh is going to be learning from him. He's not even learning from the sheikh. He says, and he may be extremely ignorant. He may be extremely ignorant. He says, this is why being يعني, humble to the teacher and showing the need of the knowledge that he has is something that is extremely beneficial for the student. طيب. And this is in, يعني, something we need to learn when we learn from the brothers who are, you know, like Dr. Yahya and those who are, يعني, they have a long foot. Sometimes the brothers will interrupt the Shaykh. I've noticed sometimes in lectures of Dr. Yahya, people corrupt him. If he said an English word that you know, he doesn't say it the way that you want to hear it, or he even say in a sentence, somebody finish it for him. This is all su adab. This is all inappropriate with the Shaykh. Rather, you give him his position. You're learning from him, you go there and learn. You don't teach. You don't tell him, Allah, you're helping him. As some people, every time you say a sentence, they finish it for you. If you go in there to seek knowledge, don't make the person feel that you're teaching him, but Allah decreed that he's sitting behind this desk and you're sitting behind that desk. This is inappropriate. What's supposed to be done is that you allow the person speaking to speak, and you show the need of learning from him, even if you may be more knowledgeable. This is between you and Allah. But in front of the people, you should have the adab and the etiquette that you are a student learning from the sheikh. So even if the sheikh made a mistake, you correct him later on the side. Say, yes, sheikh, this word is, you know, said this way, barakallahu feek, may Allah bless you, may Allah bless your knowledge. We benefited from you greatly, but just a small يعني, thing I want to share with you, such and such and such. But as to correct him while he is speaking, this is extremely inappropriate. And this is what we learn from the way Musa alayhi salam dealt with Al-Khidr. طيب. ومنها تواضع الفاضل للتعلم ممن دونه فإن موسى بلا شك أفضل من الخضر. Among the benefits also 12 or 13 is the humbleness of the person who is more virtuous. The humbleness of the person who is more virtuous when he is learning from someone who is lesser than him. He said because Musa is without a doubt better than Al-Khidr. So Musa is better than Al-Khidr. So Musa alayhi salam is more virtuous, has more virtue than Al-Khidr. Yet, he was humble. He went down from his virtue below in order to learn from the person from Al-Khidr. So in it is the evidence of you're supposed to be humble. That even if you are more knowledgeable than the person, when you want to learn something from him, you are supposed to humble yourself below that individual. So you can learn from them, even if you are better than them. All this is wallahi treasures. These are treasures that we need to implement in our life. ومنها تعلم العالم الفاضل للعلم الذي لم يتمهر فيه ممن مهر فيه وأن كان دونه في العلم بدرجات كثيرة. Another benefit is that the person, the virtuous scholar, he should learn and try to improve himself in the areas of knowledge which he is not an expert in from the person who is an expert in that field of knowledge. Huh? The virtuous scholar should improve himself in the areas that he is not an expert in from a person who is an expert in that area. You get the point?
Yes.
So for example, you may be faqih, you may understand fiqh, طيب, but you don't know tafsir. And you may be the best faqih out there, but when it comes to learning tafsir, you are supposed to learn from the one who is more grounded in tafsir, although you are a faqih. Now, even if you are better than him in high much degree. فأن موسى عليه السلام من أولي العزم من المرسلين الذين منحهم الله وأعطاهم من العلم ما لم يعطي سواهم. موسى عليه السلام is from among the stronghold of the messengers, from among the five mighty messengers, that Allah has given knowledge to them that He has not given anyone else. They were given an abundance of knowledge. ولكن في هذا العلم الخاص كان عند الخضر ما ليس عنده. But regarding this particular knowledge, which is what Al-Khidr was doing from his actions with the ship and killing the young boy and rectifying the wall and whatever, what have you, he said he had more knowledge than Musa in that field. He had more knowledge than Musa in that field. فلهذا حرص على التعلم منه. This is why Musa was keen on learning from him. Because Musa had plenty of knowledge, but he was not an expert in one field of knowledge. He humbled himself from being from the mighty messengers of Allah to learn from an individual who was more knowledgeable than him in that particular field. طيب. So this is what is expected of the student of knowledge as well. فعلى هذا فلهذا حرص على التعلم فعلى هذا لا ينبغي للفقيه المحدث إن كان قاصرا في علم النحو أو الصرف أو نحوه من العلوم ألا يتعلمه ممن ماهر فيه وإن لم يكن محدثا ولا فقيها. So based on that, the Sheikh said it is not appropriate for the faqih, the muhaddith, the one who has علم of hadith, the narrations, the chain of narrations, and al-faqih, the one who has the jurisprudence, if he has deficiency in his knowledge of the Arabic language or something along the other knowledge, it's not appropriate for him to not to learn from someone who is better than him in that area, such as the language, even though that person that he's going to learn from is not a muhaddith or a faqih. They don't have to be both muhaddith faqih, so you learn from him the other areas. He may be a person like some people want to learn English. He may be a sheikh, and you don't know nothing but English. But he will still learn from you English to benefit, although he may understand the deen much more than you. Something along these lines. The same thing can be said about Tagalog. طيب. ومنها إضافة العلم وغيره من الفضائل لله تعالى والإقرار بذلك وشكر الله عليها لقوله تعلمني مما علمت أي مما علمك الله. Also among the virtues and the benefits is attributing the knowledge and other virtuous things to Allah. Attributing knowledge and all virtuous things to Allah. And to acknowledge that. And to be thankful to Allah to that. Because Musa told them, تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Will you teach me from that which you were taught? Right guidance. So here, Musa told Khidr, مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ, that which you were taught. Meaning who taught you? Allah. So you refer knowledge and every virtuous thing to Allah. Any iman that you have is from Allah. So you thank Allah for it. Knowledge that you have is from Allah. You coming here is from Allah. So you thank Allah to it. You don't say, well, because of such and such person, I did such and such, or because of such person I came to the class. Rather, if there's anything virtuous, the first one you return it to is to Allah. Say, because of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this brother, I find out that there are these classes, or there are such and such. But any virtuous thing is referred to Allah Azza wa Jal first. Now, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِعُ هُوَ الْعِلْمُ الْمُرْشِدُ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ فَكُلُّ عِلْمٍ يَكُونُ فِيهِ الرُّشْدُ يَكُونُ فِيهِ رُشْدٌ وَهِدَايَةٌ وَهِدَايَةٍ لِطُرُقِ الْخَيْرِ وتحذير عن طريق الشر أو وسيلة لذلك فإنه من العلم النافع وما سوى ذلك فإما أن يكون ضارا أو ليس له فائدة لقوله أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا. Also is that beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that directs a person towards goodness. You don't want to write anymore? Wallah, wallah. Then he will ask me later to repeat them for you. Now I'm going slow. So beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that turns a person, directs him towards goodness. A. So every kind of knowledge that has guidance in it, that guides you to the correct way and warns you from the evil way, is a beneficial knowledge. Anything other than that is either knowledge that is harmful or knowledge that has no benefit in it. طيب. لقوله أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا, that you will teach me from that which you were taught رشدا, يعني رشد guidance, well guidance, good guidance. So it's not any knowledge, but the knowledge that will guide me to the correct and proper path. This is what is beneficial knowledge. Otherwise somebody studying the details of this, some of the things of the dunya, if it doesn't really help, then it doesn't really help, unless it's increasing his iman or making him recognize the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal or something along these lines. طيب, we will stop right now inshallah, because I want to give you a break before Sheikh Muhammad comes in. Believe it or not, there's still around 20 or so benefits from this story only. And we will have some more regarding Dhulqarnayn inshaAllah. So we have stopped at the virtue that says أن من ليس له قوة الصبر على صحبة العلم والعالم والعلم إلى آخره. No, as far as verses are concerned, we are verse 82. طيب, but we are still in the benefits of the story altogether. هذا وما كان من ثواب فبتوفيق الله عز وجل وما كان من خطأ فمني ومن الشيطان والله بريء منه والحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.